Welcome to The Holt Story, a podcast where tech leaders discuss the biggest trends and challenges in cybersecurity technology. Brought to you by Tech Data, one of the world's largest technology distributors.
Welcome, everyone, to our first episode of The Holt Story. I'm your host, Tracy Holtz, and today we have Janet Shines with us, who is one of the top women in tech, CEO of JS Group, and former channel chief of Office Depot, Verizon, and Motorola, and someone who I call my dear friend. Welcome, Janet.
Thank you, Tracy, for that great introduction. And I am so excited to be your first guest and to be your friend and to just work with you. I'm such a huge supporter of what you're doing and delighted to be here.
Well, thank you so much. Today, I thought we might discuss the exclusive research you did around trends in the channel for Tech Data at the Security & Force event.
Let's do it. Where do you want to start?
Fantastic. Well, one of my favorite sessions at Security & Force was the Women in Tech panel. I truly enjoyed all the fabulous female leaders' perspective, talking about what's happening in the industry today, how women can ultimately change their path in their career, and ultimately how mentors matter in today's landscape. What was the one thing that you took away from that session that will change how you function as a leader?
So I'll start by saying what an impressive panel you put together and how much fun that was to have that discussion, and in a virtual world to be able to keep having that discussion as avatars dancing around the platform. So that was so much fun. But I would say the thing I took away from it is to go a little easier on myself as a leader. I oftentimes judge myself much more harshly than anyone else would. I'm harder on myself. I think that's a common denominator with female leaders. And so just listening to the stories of some of the women on that panel and the struggles that they have and the forgiveness that they gave themselves for those struggles really just left me energized and charged up to just be kinder to myself as a leader and understand that, you know, I'm not under that microscope every second of every moment. And so I really walked away from that just feeling better about that and having more honest conversations with my leadership team about that as well. And I think we all need that from time to time, that kindness in our life. So that's what I walked away from. It was really a great gift.
I love that, because certainly that was one of the things I took away, right? I'm extremely hard on myself, right? We expect more out of ourselves every day. And, you know, ultimately this week I was talking to, you know, one of our partners who might be in the audience today. And we were talking on that same subject, right? That we as women certainly check all the boxes, right? And want those boxes to be checked off, hold ourselves accountable. And so we're tough on ourselves, and most times too tough, right? So we got to give ourselves a break.
We sure do. We should more now than ever. So yeah, that was great. So I really enjoyed that.
No, that was fantastic. In your research that you outlined, there was four core things that security marketing and salespeople need to do now. Can you share them with the audience?
Absolutely. And I want to set it up a little bit for folks that weren't at the event. So the channel's in this mode that I'm calling the channel perfect storm. And it's not caused by any one thing. The channel has been changing for a while. And the pandemic that we've been through kind of sped up what was an inevitable digital transformation to being fully integrated, cloud, anything as a service, as our new business model reality, at the same time that our customer preferences for engaging with us changed. So we had this moment where the technology changed, the distribution models changed, and our customer preferences changed all at the same time. And that resulted in four key things that security partners really need to focus in on and make sure that they address in their ongoing business plans. And the first one is their business model. So many partners are saying, look, I have to get to a more recurrent revenue model, but it can't be a recurrent revenue model that I have to recontract every week, every month, every year. It has to be more forever revenue. So the first thing was really around how do you evolve that business model? And many MSPs actually are now adopting the practices and the business models of CSPs, cloud service providers. So taking a hard look at that business model was part of it. The second thing was really around pricing. So often the channel just really doesn't take pricing into consideration. They race to a price and then they don't leave themselves enough room. So a lot around how to look at your pricing strategy. And then, you know, how to look at your offers. This past 12 months or so, you know, have clearly been a cloud transition that's not going to stop. But what specific things in security, managed security, et cetera, do you need to go out and have available? And this, by the way, is where I love what Tech Data does, having training and auditing and all kinds of forensics and other things that partners can kind of bolt onto their own services. And then finally, the biggest topic, and I'm sure you and I will chat more about it, is change your go-to-market. How people went to market before in a physical world doesn't work in a phigital, which for the listeners is physical plus digital. In a phigital world, the same go-to-market doesn't work. So going more digital and being more savvy about how to get to market digitally was the fourth thing. So if you're keeping notes, it's business model, pricing, offers and services, and go-to-market that we feel based on our research are the most important things to focus on.
I think we need to coin Let's Get Phygital.
There you go. See, I can hear the song, the Olivia Newton-John song in my head right now.
I think we have a channel song today. How well, I mean, if you think about, you know, those four key areas, how well do you think our partners understand the impact that those change mean to their operating model?
You know, it's interesting. It's a kind of a story of the have and have nots. So if you look at the change of 48% or so in our research of folks were actually looking at the transformation of their business model of pricing, et cetera, even if you match that against TechTarget's most recent MSP Pulse survey, 54% of the MSPs transforming. So I'm going to say, you know, it's split. It's kind of a story of the have and have not. And some folks really understand what they need to do and others are truly struggling with it. And, you know, at JS Group, our mission is actually summed up in three words: save the channel. And, you know, at every turn, at every technology change, somebody opines that the channel is going to be in trouble. And every time the channel finds a way to get to the new operating model that works. And so while I think many partners may not understand right now the changes to make, they're learning quickly. Events like Tech Data is consistently doing and investing in, from MSP Evolve to all of the other great events that you've done to support this transformation, are helping those partners understand it. So I think it's understanding is coming, and then they just have to accept that they're going to make the changes.
The statistics you've shared were pretty clear. Those percentages, you know, are very dramatic, right, in terms of the relevance in today's conditions with the business. But the channel must invest and execute on their digital marketing strategies. Do you think the average partner is today doing this from an evolution perspective?
That's a great question. And I'm so sorry to say, no, not that great. Let's step back to what's happening. So in the B2B technology space, there are two big key trends to care for, right? The first is the trend of, you know, search engines. People search for product, people search for information. It is the most prevalent thing. In fact, 79% of B2B buyers search first online. The second most prevalent thing is social media and social selling. So 29% of people, when they are discovering a new product, say they discovered it on social media, close to 30% of people. So if you couple that with, I looked for it myself, I was proactive, I saw it on a search engine, you can see where digital marketing would be the number one go-to-market perspective. And yet, when we look through partners and we do regular, not only surveys, but also audits on their domain authority, which is how well you do in your search engine optimization, fewer than 5% were in the top three results for the very keywords that they mentioned most often on their website. So when you start to think about that, that's frustrating. Now, you could say, well, look, if they're trying to compete nationally, it's hard to compete with some of the big names. So that's fair. So we took a second look and said, 68% of the partners in our Tech Data Commission survey said that they were primarily local regional players. So we went back and said, how many of them are optimized for those keywords for search just in their local arena? And 83% of them were not optimized for local search. So I would say that while people have realized that digital is important, the channel has not yet put together the right plan to be successful at that. And that's where I think it's so, you know, great, some of the things that you've been doing and, you know, we've been doing together, right, around trying to help partners do these things. And I think it's a transformation, and everybody's got to race to the go where the puck is going and get better at digital marketing.
Yeah, clearly our audience and our partners have an opportunity ahead of them, right? And yeah. When you think about roles such as social selling and marketing, those are the top two. What roles do they play in all of this?
You know, it's so interesting. So I'm going to start with social selling. So we did, again, and I'll mention it 100 times because I think it's amazing that Tech Data funded this research and that it's available to the listeners. We did a comprehensive study on all the things that Tracy and I are talking about. So please, you know, avail yourself of that information. But we did a specific survey area around, do your sellers have the right skills? And we started it in terms of thinking about prospecting efforts. So how's your ROI on prospecting? And 56% of the respondents said it was declining and 34% said it was flat. So, you know, the increasing group is 10%. So this is not, you know, a rosy picture. And then we asked, okay, so if we know that one of the number one ways to prospect now is social selling, of your current salespeople, what's their social selling expertise level? And it's a very simple thing because you can pull someone's LinkedIn SSI score with them. And if they have a 70 or better, they're an expert. And 6% of them were experts. And so when you see this, you understand why the ROI on the prospecting is going down. So what is amazing as we've been working with Tech Data is all the investment you're making in our social selling program to help these folks get better, because we know that social selling experts achieve 76% higher sales results. So the crisis, if you will, in the channel, if you take social selling and then you take the results of our survey with regards to search engine optimization and e-commerce, the crisis in the channel isn't services, it's not solutions, it's not offers, it's not financing, it's demand building talent.
Is there any data that says it will work?
Oh, there is. Oh my gosh. So when you look at the results, and by the way, some of these results are from social selling programs we have done with Tech Data and in the industry, not only are the sellers 76% higher than their peers who aren't doing social selling, their funnels are 4X that of other sellers who are not doing the same thing. In fact, if we put one person in a channel firm through social selling bootcamp coaching, the content and the prospecting program that we do, we on average get 3 more sellers from the company in the next 6 months, because that one person begins to just take off, right? They have a $3 million funnel when everybody else has a $500,000. So there are so many statistics to show. And what I would tell anybody that's listening, if you are a salesperson or if you have salespeople, it's so simple. Just Google LinkedIn social selling index score. Look up your score. If you don't have a 70 plus and you don't have 5,000 plus connections, you are not a social selling expert. And that means that your chances of being successful are a fourth of what an expert's would be. And so to me, I think it's a simple solution to invest in that and to get your people performing.
It really sounds like, I mean, certainly you and your team have really thought that through.
And you know, it's really interesting, Tracy, because we were, you know, originally someone said, well, okay, so this person is just better at connecting. And then we actually did a cold calling program. And we actually put social sellers up against non-social sellers to see how would a lead do. And the folks that developed their leads through social marketing, social media, social selling converted 7 times better than the folks that got their leads through other sources.
7 times the better. That's like,
right. So cold calling became warm calling. And that was pretty, you know, it's pretty amazing. So that's why I wanted to share that.
No, I love it. Yeah. Thank you. Let's take it a step further and discuss how we can use this in partner planning. Okay. So with everyone being remote, how do we enhance our go-to-market planning?
You know, it's so fun when I sit down with a partner and many times a vendor and start to talk about go-to-market planning. What I find is a lot of the channel has not updated that kind of dusty go-to-market plan for a long time. And the first thing we start talking about is their pricing strategy. what does their pricing strategy look like? How are they going to price? And it's always such a surprise to people because they think that go-to-market should start with what their logo looks like or, you know, what they're going to say to the market. And it doesn't, right? Promotion is actually the fourth of five P's in go-to-market. So when you think about the five P's of marketing, it's price, right? So how do you have a pricing strategy? It's placement. Where will you sell? By the way, in a pandemic world, where you sell has drastically changed. If you were selling to hospitality, you have to go after a whole new market now because they're not buying a whole lot of technology this very moment. Then it's product, right? Then it's what you sell. I know the vendors listening would like to think product comes first, but for the partner, it's price, placement, product. And then finally, you get to promotion, right? How will you promote your offers and services? And then, of course, you get to your people. And so when we sit down and enhance somebody's go-to-market, we write these five P's down and say, let's talk about how each one of these things changes in an as-a-service world. And it's refreshing to watch the blinders come off and people kind of open the aperture and just think about how they take control and they really alternate their approach so that they can grow.
That's a fantastic approach. I really like the five P's of marketing strategy. Can you share with the audience how partners take their newer solutions and services to market in this new 5P reality?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I would say is don't go legacy on pricing. We shared this at the event. And again, it's available. I'm going to talk about it being available in the report 100 times just so that people realize that they can get that report from their tech data person that they work with. Pricing is the most forgotten thing in marketing strategy. And there is a full scale push now for differentiation in a world where freemium on the app side starts a lot of purchasing decisions. So we're moving beyond the per user or per device debate. And so I think it's important that when we think about getting a pricing discipline, that we remember that in the new world, right, where everything is as a service, you have to look at solution pricing different to capture value and differentiate yourself. And too many channel firms set the price of their next generation of solutions based on the prior generation or their belief system concerning price elasticity. So think about if you have a Netflix subscription, when you got it, it was probably $9.99 a month and it went to $14.99, et cetera. Same thing I had an Amazon Prime subscription. It started at $49.99, $129. Prices rise in as a service market. And this is shocking for some people that in cloud-based solutions, starting low or free and raising prices annually is an accepted process for quote unquote forever revenue. It flies very much in the face of that last gen technology pricing where prices were always dropping. And so that's really the first thing that, you know, we talk about when we think about taking these newer solutions and services to market in that new 5P reality. And it just changes then what's possible in placement and how you sell and in promotion and how you promote when you can, you know, potentially charge more for your services. You have more money to spend on those other things in your marketing strategy.
What should vendors be doing to help their partners as they work through this evolution?
Well, I think, you know, very selfishly for the partners, that the partners want and need help. And so investing in programs, we've seen some of the vendors investing in programs with tech data that are helping these partners go get after this marketing. We just did the event on the survey, you know, all of those things. I think the vendors need to step back and say, I have to help them plan. We're actually working with many vendors in our partner expert training program to retrain their channel account managers to have these conversations. And that's a big thing the vendor can do, right? Educating the partners and working with the partners on their plans is a fantastic thing to do. And doing that with distribution, right? And the shared responsibility for partners, to me is the first thing that the vendors should do to help.
I can't agree with you more. As we wrap up today, that's some really great stuff that we talked about throughout the entire session. Can you share with the audience how people can connect with you and JS Group if they want to know more?
Sure. My name's hard to spell. So if you go on Twitter, I'm Channel Smart. That's the easiest way if you're a Twitter person to find me. If not, our website is jsgnow.com and you can get in touch with me there as well.
Janet, I can't thank you enough for joining me on my first podcast. I always learn something new and when I touch your orbit. And as a fellow Star Wars fan, that's pretty meaningful. listeners, we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day today to listen. If you have any ideas for future episodes, feel free to reach out to us at Tech Data and at Tracy Holtz, tracy.holtz@techdata.com. Also, if you enjoy the show, please subscribe and share with your coworkers. Janet and I will have an opportunity to connect again in the future. Thank you, Janet. And let's get out there and deliver those numbers. We all have an opportunity to improve our own businesses every day. And certainly the 4 P's of marketing has got to be the key element to that success. Thanks for listening to The Holtz Story, the podcast where tech leaders discuss the biggest trends and challenges with enterprise technology and security technologies, brought to you by Tech Data, one of the world's largest technology distributors. Subscribe now on iTunes, Stitcher. Thanks, everyone.